الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Just as a reminder for us all to read our Durood Sharif on a daily basis and to increase our Durood on a Friday. If we can, try and read every day 100 times Durood, and Jummah, try and make at least 300 times. If we can do more, much more better. There are many students, mashallah, who report they read much more than that. So together, and they are students who excel in their studies also. All the studies also, they get very good marks, and they are very in front in their studies also. And with that, they Durood Sharif, etc. Allah give us all tawfiq. Also, one great amal for the day of Jummah is that a person who will read 100 times after Jummah Salah, Subhanallah al-Azimi wa bihamdi. It's just about a minute and a half or so. Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. Then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala forgives 100,000 of his sins and 24,000 sins of his parents. 100,000 of his sins are forgiven and 24,000 sins of his parents are forgiven by reading Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. This is narrated in Amalul Yawm wa Layla by Ibn Sunni. And other ulama have quoted other ahadith to corroborate many other ahadith also, where the same subject matter is, that a person will read 100 times Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi after Jummah Salat. Sit and read it while we are walking to the mess, we can easily finish it. And instead of talking of all dunya things, we can read this. How a great benefit. 100,000 of our sins are forgiven and 24,000 of our parents. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. We all well know, the world knows, that before the advent of Islam, what the condition of the world was. And generally in the world, it was terrible conditions everywhere. And in the Arabian Peninsula, it was perhaps even worse. The worst types of crimes were taking place. The living conditions were the worst. Poverty, there was so much poverty that whatever blood they found anywhere, they should have sucked it up. They wouldn't verify what blood it is. Some dirty, filthy blood also. The fights they had on small matters. And these fights would carry on for generations and generations. And the elders of the family would advise the younger people that this fight you must carry on. Jahalat, ignorance, was at its limit. If a person passed away and his wife was left living, then the children would inherit her. If they wished to, they would marry her, or if they wished to, they would sell her as a slave. The Jews at that time, they lived in such a way that when a woman was in her menses, then they would not allow her to stay in the house. She had to stay out of the house. And they wouldn't eat her food or anything that has to do with her. So there was so much of jahalat, slavery, what is at its height, wine and drinking of liquor, it was to its height, all the worst things. Islam came, and by the fadl of Allah Ta'ala, after, of course, lot of effort, lot of sacrifices, it brought complete peace. Such a life that Allah, bi dhikri Allah, tatma'innul qulub. That Allah says, Allah, open your ears and listen. It is one of the three huruf tanbih, that listen carefully. So Allah's kalam, the whole kalam of Allah, Quran Sharif, is such that Allah says, فَاسْتَمِعُوا كَانْ لَغَا كِسُنُوا. Like when a person wants to hear something very carefully, he puts his hand also behind his ear. What did you say? I want to hear carefully. In that way, listen to the whole Quran Sharif. And not only that, you must listen with your full attention, فَاسْتَمِعُوا وَأَنْصِتُوا. And in our language, and shut up. when the Quran Sharif is being recited, there should be nothing else. Nothing is more greater. The Kalam of Allah Ta'ala, the King of Kalams, is the Kalam of the King, Allah Ta'ala's Kalam. At that time, we should not be engaged in anything else. So, that in that Quran Sharif, on top of that, Allah says, Allah, open your ears and listen. Just as a little anecdote, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, in his most beautiful and unique ways, he should say, and listen carefully what I am saying. I am saying, Allah, that open your ears and listen properly. I am not saying, Allah, Ha, and what's the third? Huruf e tambi, Allah, Ama, and Ha. So Hazrat should say, I am not saying, what is this famous engines and motorbikes? Yamaha. So listen, I'm not saying Yamaha. I'm saying Allah, Ama, and Ha. So we should listen carefully. Many times we hear wrong. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala is bi dhikrillah, by the dhikr of Allah. And bi, the ba, ye is in the meaning of fi. That in the dhikr, not just outwardly, not little attachment. And in Tafsir and Mazhari, it is explained that the ba is in the meaning of fi, in the dhikr of Allah. And like a fish, if it has got attachment with water, it hasn't got contentment. It has to be in water. When it is fully immersed in water, and a fish, whenever it senses any problem, difficulty, it goes into deep water. Some friends of ours told us when we were in Trinidad, there is Tobago, a small island which is under Trinidad, that a person was sitting at the shore and he saw that a fish was in a puddle of water, and it was very restless, uneasy, because it had very little water. It was covered in the water, but it was uneasy. He made out, so he took a stick and he pushed it, and it went into the sea. Immediately it went in the sea, it swam at a great speed and went fast away. But after a little while, it came back again. And with its tail, it waved at him, wagged its tail, to say, Jazakallah, you put me into the water. So a fish, like its place, is in the water. So the dhikr we have to make is in deep. And the minute we sense problems, we must go deeper in water. Just like a mu'min is like a fish in the water when he's in the masjid. He's comfortable, he's peaceful. And if he's got problems, then he goes deep into the masjid. Like Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, famous of him. Any little problem he had at home, domestic, any problem, straight to the masjid. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the wind would blow a little stronger. Anything, straight to the masjid. That is where a mu'min. And when there were pandemics in the history of Islam, then we find the people didn't close the masjid. They didn't stop going to the masjid. They made i'tikaf in the masjid. That this is the place where we find our solace, our peace, our comfort, the masjid. And a munafiq in the masjid is like a bird in a cage. And a munafiq also, in the dhikr, with regard to the dhikr of Allah, he finds it very hard. So much so, that forget him making dhikr, when he sees somebody else making dhikr, it pains him in his stomach. Like a person is, with regard to allergy, a person is allergic to certain things. Like for example, panado some people are, so many people, nuts they are allergic, fish people are allergic to, but this is when they get involved in that, then that allergy has an effect on them. But yeah, with regard to the dhikr of Allah, people are so allergic that somebody else makes dhikr and our stomach pains. And we start talking all things, that what is this bid'at and all that. But dhikr, Allah has stressed it, so many ayat of the Quran. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. And not only that, after that, وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Dhikr of Allah is so important, but we are allergic to it. We can't take it. So anyway, So by the dhikr of Allah, Allah says, Allah, bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub, hearts find peace. And the dhikr of Allah is not only our verbal dhikr that we make. It means at all times to be in the remembrance of Allah, to be in the obedience of Allah. When it is time to for salah, then we are doing nothing else but salah. When it's time for tilawat of Quran Sharif, we are doing tilawat. When it's time to earn our living, we are earning our living in a halal, correct way, according to the commands of Allah. That is also all the dhikr. When it is time to eat, we are eating in the sunnat way, in the proper way, the correct food. And with the dhikr of Allah, all that eating is also dhikr. When we go and sleep, we sleep in the dhikr of Allah. We read our masnoon du'as, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. We sleep at the right times, not during namaz times we are sleeping. Not during sabak times we are sleeping. We sleep in the correct way, according to the sunnat posture. All that is dhikr. So for a mu'min, his 24 hours, he will be in dhikr. And when we do that, tatma'innul qulub, hearts will find solace. And the people who were, what type of lives they were leading before Islam. But when the whole of Islam came, and after, of course, lot of sacrifice, lot of hard work, lot of nights staying awake and crying to Allah, lot of sacrifice of the family, of our comfort, then that way of life came into existence. Came to such an existence that in the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the fifth righteous khalifa, that a person, a shepherd, was grazing his sheep at the water. A passerby saw that the wolves are also drinking water, but they're not attacking the sheep. They will drink the sheep and the wolves, otherwise a wolf will not spare a sheep. A lion won't spare a sheep, a buck. They will eat it up. But they were drinking and grazing and staying together. So then suddenly one wolf attacked a sheep. So the shepherd started crying. So they asked him, why are you crying? You are doing your duty to protect them. It was beyond your control. Then you're not responsible. And it's not your sheep, it's your master's sheep. So you are not, you haven't, no loss you have suffered. You are not responsible also. I'm not suffering, he said, I'm not crying for the loss of a sheep. But I'm crying, I fear that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz has passed away. When they checked the time, it was exactly at that time that he, when that peace he brought in the world, that even animals, lions and wolves and sheep, they lived side by side. There was so much of peace, so much so that in the time of Umar ibn Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a lady for some valid excuse had to travel from Sana'a in Yemen to Medina Sharif on her own. Otherwise, a woman is not allowed to travel on her own, but for some valid reason. And when she was asked that, how did you find your journey? She said, it was like I'm moving from one room of my father's house to another room, from one town to another. Nobody interfered with me. Nobody harmed me in any way. Everyone, help and respect I was given everywhere. So this is when Islam came. It brought this. And there are countless of such incidents. In our time, when the Taliban were ruling, not this time, now also they're ruling Afghanistan, but about 20 years ago or so before America wrongly invaded Afghanistan, and after that Taliban gained control. So a journalist asked them that you people have brought Islamic law. Now what did you benefit with Islamic law? What benefits have you seen? So the person said, do you want your answer in theory or you want to see it practically with your eyes? So he said, I want to see it practically with my eyes. So he took an attache, his bag, and he filled $100 notes in it. Full, the whole bag was filled with $100 notes. And he left it at a bus stand, at a bus stop. And he said, we'll come back 3 days and see whether this bag is still here, whether anyone has touched it, whether that money is still there. And Abad, after 3 days, that money was 100% intact. So much of security, so much of peace. And we have seen with our eyes, and there must be other older people also here, that in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, at the time of Namaz, when Adhan used to go, then the jewelers, those who had shops, and those who sold on the street, all they did is just threw one cloth over their jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, pearls, emeralds, all like that. No shutters pulled down also. Just the sheet thrown over, and they would go with itminan for namaz. They would perform their namaz without any worry that what is happening to my things there. And they would come back, and 100% it would be like that. And they would find their customers waiting for them. The customers could easily just open the sheet and take what they want to. But they were waiting, and they used to make good deals and good business. So when Islam comes, this is what Islam gives. But today we find, unfortunately, in almost every aspect, the old pagan Arab world and the world of darkness of the past is again today. But only today, it is in the form of modernism, in the form of progress. But all those evils are back today again. Judge Akbar Allahabadi, Rahmatullah Alayh, he was a judge of the High Court in Allahabad during the rule of the British. But he was a very pious and righteous person. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh also met him and told him, he's a very righteous and pious person, though he was the judge of the court. So he has written beautiful poetry. One of them is, the words are not perhaps exact, but more or less, a Roshan Zamana. This time of this modern times, this enlightened times, this progressive times, tera muh ho kala, may your face be black, bahar se ujala, andar se andhera. Outwardly you are very shining and bright, this modern world, but inside you are dark, worse than zulumatum ba'duha fawqa ba'd. Dark, complete darkness you are. This is the world we are living again, in that pagan world. Again in the world of ignorance. The world of darkness. Though we all say very enlightened world and very progressive world. And the world has gone from where to where. But if we just think, and it's necessary for us to think, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدًا. After many advices, the whole Quran Sharif is full of advices. Just like somebody advising somebody, it gives him many advices. Then he says, this one thing I'm telling you, just think about this what I'm telling you. So Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدًا. One thing, أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادًا. Whether you are alone, whether you are two people, 10 people, groups of people, all of you, I'm giving you one advice. Antatafakkaru. Don't just go what the people are saying. People are saying very modern world, very progressive world, very enlightened world, and it comes on our tongues also. Once with a few friends of us, we were traveling in Bangladesh, in Dhaka, the capital city, and we passed that place of where all the modern buildings and all that are. So one of our friends, who ought to have known better, he says also, Bangladesh also progressing very much, seeing the material things, that is progress, etc. So we also get caught up in this, seeing this dunya, this modern world, the progressive, tall skyscrapers, technology, what it has done, all the cars, what kind of cars they are, the computers, the programs on the computers, world has progressed. But Allah says, أَنْتَ تَفَكَّرُوا. Then, the Quran Sharif, the actual revelation is, مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةِ. What you are about Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ayat was actually revealed for Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. The general application of the ayat is for all matters and all times. That the people are saying that, na'uzu billah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a majnoon, is a sahir, is a kazzab, na'uzu billah, wal'iyazu billah, all this. Don't get carried away what the people are saying. Allah, think for yourself. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born amongst you people in Makkah. As a little child, you saw his life. As he grew up, you saw his life. As a young man, you saw his life. You called him as-sadiq. You called him al-ameen. You took your amanat and you left it by him to look after. You had every trust on him. So a man like that, how can he be a kazzab, na'udhu billah? How can he be a sahir? How can he be a majnoon? Think for yourself. So just like that today also, what people are saying, don't just go by that. Think for yourself. Who this is, what the matter is, what is the actual thing. Don't just go what people are saying. People will say lot of things. And when we hear all these things, Quran Sharif says, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّهُ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And when you pass with futile things, useless things, just pass what is that an honor. Don't waste even your time answering them also. There are many questions, even in a Darul Ifta, there are many questions which are not to be answered also. They just belong to the dirt burn, to the waste burn, and that is where they must go. So there are many things like that, we don't even have to worry. So anyway, what now we have to think, that this modern zamana, think for ourselves, what has Islam brought? Peace to everyone. A young girl, wherever she was, as long as she was in her father's house, she was the princess of the palace. When she got married, she was the queen of the palace. Not like today's women are on the factory floors. They are flying in aeroplanes as hostesses, and they have to see and tolerate all things of the people, how they treat them, etc. But she had full respect. How orphans were looked after. Not only orphans, one of the khulafa in Islam in a much later time, when it was Islamic rule, they came and report to him that we have got excess funds in the treasury. What must we do with it? So he said, give more money to the widows. They said, there is still excess. More money to the... They had given already. The orphans were looked after. The widows were looked after. All the poor people, travelers were looked... He said, give them more. They said, still there is excess. And then what did he say? He says, take and buy wheat and throw it on the mountain tops, so that it can be known to the world forever that where there is Islamic rule, the birds also don't go hungry. They also find their rosy easily. So much barakat and so much of goodness. And today, whether it is third world countries, the corruption that carries on, or it is first world countries, white collar crime, there also is the same corruption. But yeah, only in third world countries, they do it more in an open way. And in the other countries, they do it more in a hidden way. In the other countries, the same, they exploit people of the world. In Tanzania, when Canada came and they wanted the minerals of that places, they actually killed the people who were living on that ground. And how they had tortured them and what they had done to get that ground, to get the minerals which are in under. In India, Coca-Cola bottling company, where they wanted to water from a river, how they deprived the local people of their day-to-day drinking water. Just to give people this Coca-Cola to drink, which is poison. As far as health conditions are concerned, it is pure poison it is. And the pure natural water, how they had curbed it. And they deprived the people. And not one, two, endless stories. So what has the modern world given to us? If we go and see the suicides which take place in the world today. So many of suicides. Whereas, at the time of Islam and that, you'll hardly hear of a suicide case. But today's suicide, and also see, according to Guinness Book of Records, their own books, not our books, the highest rate of suicides are with the psychiatrists. And the psychiatrists are supposed to be those people solving everyone else's problem. And the most problem they got, that the highest rate of suicide are with the psychiatrists. Is that modernism? Is that progress? Is that the progress we want in the world? And incidentally, the third highest rate of suicide are dentists. Allah only knows what is the connection. But according to the Guinness Book of Records, the third highest rate of suicide are with dentists. So anyway, all those things. And though on the other side, Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub, you find peace. On the one side you find that Allahu Akbar, whether it was Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was traveling behind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and she got left behind with the greatest of respect and honor, she was brought and joined the kafla again. Today a woman is raped by her own father. is raped by her own brothers and uncles in the house. They are raped. The woman has got no security. Only it's a big show that feminism and woman's right and woman's love, it's nothing whatsoever. Today the girls will find out, if we have any connection with non-Muslims and a little bit closer, which we shouldn't be having, but if we have, find out, girls are small girls, 2 year baby girls are raped in by their grandfather, by the father in the house. Is that progress? Is that the modernism we want and the progress we want? The suicides, the rapes, murder, hey, the amount of murder in the world, wherever you can think of. It can be third world countries, first world countries, the amount of murders that take place. And who? Husbands killing wife, wife killing the husband, wife poisoning the husband. This is in Islam. Where there is Islam, Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Hearts find peace. Whether it is illnesses, what has the modern world given to the people? Intermingling of sexes from already pre-primary, little boys and girls are made to explore one another's bodies. What has this result in? HIV, AIDS. And AIDS, they haven't got a remedy for AIDS. They haven't got any medicine for AIDS. HIV, this is what they have given. And in Islam, the chastity of a boy also. Just this Sunday we met one boy, and just perhaps about 30, 40 years ago, he was studying in Lodium, and this word touched his heart, that his mother told him that we send you to go and study. They were from another town, a small town. And she said that we work hard and you people go and get involved in all haram and wrong things. That touched him. And he says, so many girls, Muslim girls, Hindu girls made open offers to me, but I kept my chastity and purity. Islam teaches this to a person. And their life, whether it's young boys, girls, sadly, because their way of life, our Darul Uloom students also, we get involved with boys and get involved with girls and all the haram. So is that what is modernism? Is that what is progress in this world? This HIV and this AIDS. AIDS, one of our ustads explained, they went to an AIDS center and they saw those ladies there. They couldn't walk a few meters and they were totally out of breath. And it's a killer disease. And what a terrible killer disease. Like that, on many other things, not only this few that I've mentioned, drugs. What has the modern world given to the world? Drugs. And actually, the first world countries have it grown in order to supply the people. Outwardly, they'll speak against it. And they'll have their rehab centers. And every rehab center, the people who are running it will tell you for themselves, it's a complete failure. It's a losing battle. Nobody gets rehabilitated. They just go a few months and they are back again. Or they're back on their habits again. What is this modern world? And we all are impressed with it. Be impressed with the Islamic way of life. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, if you want a life of peace and a life of enjoyment and security and real progress, today work out from the hadith that the sahaba and the people of later times, that the amount of wealth you hear so much that, for example, one time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made asr namaz. After making salam, he jumped over the shoulders of the people and he went to one of his wife's house. And afterwards he said, there was a gold nugget that was in the house and I hadn't ordered it to be distributed. I went and said, the amount of gold, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after conquest of Makkah, what he gave to the people, to non-Muslims, we can't imagine that charity in these times. We can't work out that figure, the gold, the crowns of the kings of Persia and Rome fell at the feet of the Sahaba. What didn't they have? Let us follow an Islamic way of life, goodness will come. Let us not just go with the flow and think this more progressive, modern way and the West and that they have given people something. They have to rob themselves of everything. They have robbed the people of the world. And finally will be Jannat and Jahannam. Those who followed Islamic way of life, what Jannat they will get. and those who followed all this animalism and the filthy, dirty and eating the monkeys and the donkeys of the West, when they will be in Jahannam, they will bray like a donkey. They will cry, and how what will be their condition? So Islam is our way. Follow our way. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.